been listening to a little bit of jazzy blues stuff lately. And I know that this is not something you're going to be able to guess the name of.
Well, it's a common track, isn't it?
Is it?
It is, yeah.
I play it in the house and the kids are like, what is that music you're listening to? But I absolutely love it.
So it's not exactly a song.
No, it's not, but it's a great, very catchy track from the, I think it's from the 50s. But I think since I've been playing it in the house, I've been loads of 50s and 60s blues and jazz and stuff like that. I would never have listened to that sort of stuff.
So but somebody's introduced it to you. And
yeah, and it's cool when you're cooking in the kitchen, just putting that on in the background, putting on some incense, you know, drinking some tonic water.
Your life has changed these
days. My life has changed.
So we've got some questions. So yep. A few questions have been sent in, so we thought we'd do a Q&A.
Yeah.
Answer some of the questions that have been sent in. They're very different questions that we've got today, that we've been handed today. So, okay. So the first one is, it's actually quite a few parts to it. So it's been hard to be a mum when I don't know, I think I might just read the whole thing, then we'll answer some parts.
Yep.
It's been hard to be a mum when I don't know what a good mum looks like. I'm always afraid that I'll damage my daughter in some way like my mum damaged me. So I still have so many issues because of how cruel my mum was to me as a kid. How do I make sure my daughter feels safe, loved, and can come to me for anything if I don't have an example to follow?
Mm. In answering this question, we need a cough button. In answering this question, I think our objective always is to answer it as truthfully as we possibly can. And but the answer is going to be a bit pointy and a bit controversial. So. Mm. Because it really what it does is it pushes the person to do some actual work on themselves. The first thing I would just answer to go to the first part.
So
of
it's
the
been
question.
Hard to be a mum when I don't know what a good mum looks like. I'm always afraid I'll damage my daughter in some way like my mum damaged me. So I feel like that's the place that we have to start. When you feel that you've been damaged, you're going to try and avoid doing the same thing to your kid. But the problem is that when you have that perception, in some way, it will, you know, what you run from, you run into sometimes. So the problem isn't so much about what you're doing. The problem would be around the perception of being damaged, because in the perception that you feel like you were damaged, like if a parent feels they were damaged, they're...
I think ultimately where the person's trying to get to is they would like to perceive in their lives that the perceived damage didn't happen and they would be a better parent.
Yes.
If that hadn't happened, I would be a better parent.
Yep, that's a good idea.
So the only way to be a better parent is that you have to get to that point inside of yourself. You have to see that that is a perception based on what you perceive happened to you back there. And your objective ultimately is to get to the point where you see that how you're seeing things in terms of that perception is not how it actually was.
So I agree with that, but I think that some people wouldn't necessarily understand that, because they'll be like, no, it actually did happen. It's not a perception that something happened back there. Something did actually happen back there. So we probably need to just explain what we mean around that. Do you know what I mean?
Well, you have experiences happen in your childhood. And as we go through, if we perceive that those experiences are more minus than plus, they go against our values, we perceive that they are, we call them damage or we call them cruelty. And so that then becomes the basis upon which we operate in the world. So that becomes what we call our story. And your story then is fueling the person that you are, because your story is based on experiences, memories, and emotions. Your emotions create your beliefs. Your beliefs create your behavior. Your behavior creates your temperament. Your temperament creates your mood. Your mood creates your personal reality, and your personal reality becomes your personality. And hey, presto, this becomes your way of life. So you are fueled out of a previous perception that what your mother did or what your parent did was only negative and not positive.
So that's where the perception is. It's not that the thing didn't happen. It's that the the judgment you've put on that thing that's happened. So yeah. calling it plus or calling it minus is the perception.
Yeah, so that becomes... So now you have distorted sensory input, which is creating distorted motoring output and creates a distorted motor function. Mm. So you're trying to avoid pain and run to pleasure. And the truth about it is pleasure and pain are completely inseparable. Mm. And on top of this... whatever you said it a minute ago, but whatever we condemn in a parent, we're destined to live out. Mm. The person we condemn is the one we'll become, because we're destined to see that no matter what the parent was doing, we were loved.
Yeah.
No matter what happened, we were loved.
So one of the biggest things that we see with parents is that they feel like they've damaged or broken or affected their kids or messed something up in their kids, and they worry about that. And the problem is that in order to show a person that you haven't messed up your own kids, you have to get that your parents never messed up with you. And the thing that most people get challenged with is if they have moments in their childhood that were, you know, in their perception when they're saying it's damaged, that they feel like they did mess up with me. So do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So they're going to continuously think that they're messing up with their kids. So in order to help your kid to the best degree possible, you have to have a breakthrough on what happened with your parents. Mm-hmm. Because until you don't see it as damage, you will continuously try and run away from that perception. And in order to... come full circle with it, you will run into it until you sort it out.
Oh, you'll keep running into the same situations and scenarios. Yeah. It'll be relentless throughout your life. And not because life is trying to give you, excuse me, a hard time. It's because the higher part of you, your higher state of consciousness, is sending you lessons in order for you to understand into your conscious reality, in order for you to get that no matter what happened back there, you were loved. But your higher self's job is to guide you to the point you're ultimately trying to get to. But you want to be able to raise your child from a state of love. Mm-hmm. But the only way you'll do that is if you get that you were risen from a state of love. Yeah. And if you get that love has no conditions on it. What that means is that love will do whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. It doesn't go, oh, in order for you to feel loved, I'm going to only be kind. I'm going to only be caring. It's only going to be one way. Yeah. In actual fact, there are certain qualities and attributes that you have received as a result of how the parent behaved, and those qualities and attributes are part of the evolution of the emotional nature of your heart to become a better parent. But the pursuit needs to be, okay, I need to get what happened back there. Mm-hmm. I need to get to a point inside of myself. Now, ultimately, the reason you even would have asked this question is because innately you fucking know 100% that you don't want to be getting around in the world feeling resentful about mm-hmm. what happened to you.
Yeah.
You know that there's no way life would set me up like this. You have a deep, innate knowing that life is not that cruel. So the objective is that you have to stop and get that no matter what happened to you, you were loved. And when you do that, you will realize that no matter what you do to your child, you cannot screw it up. Mm-hmm. But if you perceive that your mother screwed up, then you will perceive that you're going to screw up, which is what we're hearing in the question. So you have to get that no matter what occurred back there, you were loved. So that requires a very, very deep breakthrough, which is something we do with people all the time. Yeah. That requires you getting to a point where you have such a breakthrough that we say to you, okay, if we could give you a magic wand and you could go back there and change anything that happened, would you? No way. Would you gladly have your daughter go through exactly what you went through? And if you answer anything other than, I would absolutely have my daughter go through what I went through, then you're still not clear. But your objective is to get to a point where if I say to you, would you gladly have your daughter go through exactly what you went through? Your answer is, I would absolutely have my daughter go through it. Because you realize in that moment that you were loved, and in that moment you're free, and in that moment you get that life doesn't make mistakes. Mm. The word mistake means I didn't get the lesson, I didn't get the blessing, I didn't see what was happening back there. So you think what happened to you was a mistake. And anything that you think is a mistake, you will have to retake. So until you see it
that same way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the I suppose, I've talked a lot on this in the past, but the whole idea of the perception and the perception of the damage, the thing happened, like whatever the thing was that happened that created what you perceive to be damage. The thing happened. The perception, and there's nothing you can do about the thing happening, right? If whatever it was, there's not a lot, you can't do anything about what happened. What you have control over is your perception around what happened, mm-hmm. how you label it, how yep. you see it, and how you view it. So if you want to change the thing, you have no control over that because the thing was the thing, it happened. What you have control over is the perception because you created the perception.
Yeah.
Based on whatever story you've told yourself, whatever you've heard in the past, how we and also based on your experience, you've seen it as more minus than plus, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you've seen it as more minus than plus, the perception or the creation of the perception is in your hands, mm-hmm. right? And if it's in your hands, then you can actually alter that. You can transform that because that's something that's in your control.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happening here is that I think whoever's asked this question has understood at some level that there's another that this person is saying, I'm afraid I'll damage my daughter the way my mum's damaged me. I have still so many issues. So it's like an asking of, hey, how do I not have these issues? How do I take that perception and shift it? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so I think the first level, and we all, like I totally get that this is a challenging question and our answer is challenging, but that's the objective. You know, you're never going to grow if you're not going to be challenged. And so this question is asked not for us to go, oh yeah, your mother was terrible, because what do you do with that? That's just compounding a lobster of perception. So the first level of really transforming that is you have to take responsibility. So
yeah.
What that means is that you have to go, okay, at the moment I feel as if helpless because I feel as if the answer to me being a better mother lies in my mother behaving differently back there and me not having gone through that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but in that scenario, where do you go with that? Like you can't go anywhere with that. But there's what you have to understand, and what's important to understand is that that was the perception of an 8-year-old child, a 10-year-old child, yeah. a 14-year-old child. That was a perception of a child.
Mm-hmm.
So the higher part of you is saying, okay, it's the kid that leads you to ask this question. It's the child inside you that goes, help me. I need to see something here that I've not been able to see.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to show her as a mother that she can be a better mother, and the answer to that does not lie in changing the past.
Mm.
The answer lies in getting the truth in the past.
Yeah.
Because we only see things through our senses in halves. And the definition of a lie is a minimization or a maximization of what occurred back there. And if you're minimizing what occurred back there and saying it was only bad and not good, you're never going to be able to see what you want. You have to get that it was neither good nor bad. It was whatever it took for you to be the parent that you are today. And you have to get to a point where tears roll down the side of your face and you can look at your mother and say, thank you, I love you. I totally get it. I'm totally clear. Only at that point does this stop occupying your mind in space and time. And the reason it's in your mind is not because life is trying to give you a hard time. It's because life is actually saying to you, this is the thing you have to see.
And I think it takes so much courage to ask for, to be able to view this sort of thing in a different way. But this person is asking to the last question is, how do I make sure my daughter feels safe, loved, and can come to me for anything if I don't have an example to follow? But you're wanting that for your daughter. If you can get that for yourself to begin with and understand that you were loved, mm-hmm. that you were safe, that everything that you needed was there, I think the answer is going to lie in that. Because the minute that you get that, you will understand that your daughter has everything that she needs.
There's nothing missing, never anything absent. Yeah. They are always getting everything they require. But in actual fact, what it sounds like is and this is what all parents go through, we're trying to work out in our children what we haven't worked out in ourselves. Mm. And we're trying to be a better child for the parent, for the child, as opposed to being a better parent for ourselves. Yeah. And when you mother your own child and you go back and you see what happened and you get...
Your internal child.
When you go back and sort that stuff out for that little girl inside of you, you will realize you can't get it wrong.
Yeah.
You cannot make a mistake with your children. No matter what they do, no matter what goes on, there is a hidden perfection in everything that goes on. And that is the thing that drove you to ask this question, is because you have an innate knowing that there is a hidden lesson and blessing in what occurred back there.
Mm, yeah.
And you just can't see it.
I think we've kind of answered that question. So that's essentially a great question. Breakthrough. Mm-hmm. And then also I think seeing the qualities and characteristics that you're summoning, even just to ask that question,
yeah.
and even just to step in and that energy is already trying to take some responsibility and understand that this is what I need to look at. This is where I need to put my focus and yeah. energy, you know. Okay, totally changing the subject with our second question. It's all about property development.
Okay.
So first step in property development, once your why is sorted, investors, builders, that's all the question. So first step in property development. So once your why is sorted, do you feel like the why needs to be the first thing?
Well, I think that, you know, when I got into property development, it was driven out of a conversation I'd had with my father many years earlier where I said to him, you know, Dad, how do you become a millionaire? And he looked at me and he said, bricks and mortar, son. So that was really where my first desire to become a millionaire actually came from.
A
property developer actually came from. So your why is your why, and property developing is just a pillar of revenue that enables you to be able to go and live your why.
So do you think that there's a place to start, or does it really rely on the strategy and what your outcome is? Is that where, like, how do you know where to start? Is it knowing the strategy and knowing your outcome? Like, somebody who's going to replace their income, for example, mm-hmm. and who's doing it to replace their income is probably going to have a slightly different strategy as opposed to somebody who's got, like, you know, cash flow coming in and they're doing this on the side. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you agree?
Mm.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think that, you know, when you're doing property developing, when I'm encouraging our guys to develop, my objective in encouraging them to develop is to be able to create another pillar of income. If they want to leave their existing career and go full-time as a developer, anybody can do that. I know lots of people that have done that over time, and it's a great move if that's what's in your blood. Property developing is, like, the person that's asking this question is obviously going, okay, I want to start to develop properties. And I think that that's a really wise move, especially in Australia, especially in Western Australia. That's a really, really wise move. We have a huge housing shortage. So there's plenty, especially at the moment, there's plenty of money to be made in developing. And it just depends on how you want to get in. You know, do you want to buy and flip? That's buy houses, renovate them and flip them. Do you want to buy, subdivide and flip? That's buy a house, subdivide off the back, decorate the front and flip both. Do you just want to be a buyer's advocate where you're buying houses for other people? Do you want to be an OPM person where you go and you find deals and you put together a
use other people's money.
Yeah, other people's money, but you put together a due diligence and an information memorandum that shows the someone else who hasn't got time to invest but wants to be able to use their money to make money, and you show them deals and then they fund the deal and you handle the development. So there's many ways to get into it.
So what would be the first thing? So I think the question is, what's the first step? So you have to probably figure out what you want
to
do.
Well, the first step I say to air guys is, you need to, if you're going to become a developer, you need to study property developing. We have a really, really, really comprehensive property development package where we teach people on a real live development how to actually do a property development, how to do a subdivision. It's over, I think it's nearly 90 videos. Each individual video steps you through the process of actually doing it. And, you know, when we were putting that together, I had played a game. This is a cool thing to do. I'd played a game many years ago called Cash Flow. And it was created by Robert Kiyosaki. And I played it with a chiropractor, a lawyer, a chiropractor, two lawyers, and me. And when you go to play the game, part of playing the game is it says in the game that you have to meet a month later. And what cash flow does is it shows you how to get out of the rat race. But in getting out of the rat race, it does it through how to actually do deals. And it really, like, it blew my mind because it really educated me on how easy it was to actually get out of the rat race. It blew my mind. And I remember all of us met a month later, and every single one of us had bought another property development. And so that is one of the first things I would recommend that you do.
That sounds like it's more of a mindset thing as opposed to an actual step in property development.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you're going to do it, you got to educate yourself. Like, I've watched lots of people make serious mistakes in property developing. You know, they come along, they haven't done their due diligence, and they haven't put together any sort of feasibility study. They find a house with a big block and they think, oh, this is it. And then they find out that, you know, the sewer line is in the wrong place or whatever. There's loads of things that can go wrong there. And so that puts them off. You know, they have their first one and then it just puts them off. But really what you got to do, really what you got to do is you got to educate yourself in how to actually do a development. Hang out with people that are developers. You know, speak to, you know, start to, you know, read as much as you can on how to do it. Go to courses, go to seminars, get it, even if it's our tutorial or anybody else's tutorial, get a tutorial that teaches you the step-by-step process of doing that and get it into your mind and see, is it something that it's just a phase that you're like, oh, I think of, or do you actually want to become a developer?
So it sounds like your answer is sort your mindset out, get educated, and then, like, figure out what the strategy is.
Yeah,
like,
what's your strategy?
What's the actual outcome? Yeah. Okay, cool. Okay, and then last one for today is are there any suggestions for feeling more fulfilled in life, even if you're not exactly unhappy? I just feel something's missing.
Okay.
I know that can be quite a thing, like feeling like everything's okay. Like, I don't feel like anything's actually wrong, but I feel like there's a piece of the puzzle that's not quite there. Mm. Something's missing for me to feel the most fulfilled.
We are, as humans, driven to always be doing something.
Yeah, and always be making a difference and making an impact in
someone's life. Yeah. So we have this drive to just continuously work and continuously strive towards something. Mm. So your objective is to understand that sense of absence of... the perception of imperfection is what makes life perfect. If we perceived everything was perfect, we would never move. Mm-hmm. So life would never have come onto this planet. So there's always going to be a perception of absence of some sort. You wake up in the morning and there's a perception of absence of, you know, food. There's a perception of absence of, hey, what am I going to do today? And when we're not doing things, you know, it depletes vitality from us. Life depletes vitality. But I think it's important to be clear about the things that you want to do and make sure that whatever it is you're doing, you're clear about how that is fulfilling life and how that is fulfilling to other people around you. and also how it's setting you, because we all want to get to the end of our lives and look back on what happened and know we made a difference. Everybody, nobody avoids that. Everybody innately wants to do that. So it's just about understanding that you're making sure you're doing things in the world that make a difference to yourself and others.
I think also the idea of being fulfilled is, you can, you even if you're making a difference, if you're not living in accordance with your own values, if you feel like your values really fulfill you, they really light you up, they really make you feel like, you know, this person's saying, even if you're not exactly unhappy, it doesn't sound like they're feeling lit up from the inside about what they're doing. And I don't, and I think that comes from not feeling like you're clear on what you're doing and how it aligns with your values and how it's actually benefiting your values and how it means that you can live your values. And I think when you are not clear on your values, it's very easy just to kind of go through the motions around going to work, you know, even being with your family, hanging out with your friends, doing all the things that you do. If you haven't got a clear understanding of your values and what actually lights you up and what actually inspires you, you will there will be an energy of being unfulfilled.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think for me, in answering that question, I would be like, well, you have to, the fulfillment comes, there's a few things that fulfillment comes from. You have to live your values, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I also think you've got to take action. You know, we had a chat in one of my coaching calls recently around the fact that when you take action, it brings you to, like, even small action steps. It doesn't have to be these massive things around, you know, changing the world. It's small, daily, non-negotiable, small action steps that you can do on a regular basis that make you, that align with who you are and what it is that lights you up. And I think if you're not feeling fully fulfilled, I feel like you're potentially not taking action steps in alignment with your values to help you to get to that space.
Yeah, I think there's an interesting thing that happens inside of a person in terms of, and we speak about this regularly, so I'm sorry for saying it again, but we have values called our glial cells, and when we're really living in accordance with our values and we're feeling that sense of joy and that sense of fulfillment and we feel that sense of, wow, you know, I'm really on fire here, that is because when we live in accordance with our values, our glial cells broadcast into the atmosphere as that sense of joy, which tangles with particles in your reality to bring more of that around. Mm. And your objective when you're living your values is to become addicted to that feeling. I know the other day that Ollie was playing basketball and they'd had two losses, and in this particular game they were having a win, and in having a win, he came over, he was taken off and sat down beside me, and he'd scored two points. He'd scored a couple of points, but he sat down beside me, and I'm like, he was like really in this sense of, you know, this sense of joy. You know, he was in this really special place, and the coaches had high-fived him, and he sat down next to me, and I said, "How do you feel?" And he said, "Oh, I just feel great." And I said, "Ollie, that needs to be the pursuit in your life. See that feeling?" I said, "You need to do things that allow you to feel that feeling. That's the pursuit. No matter what you do, just keep pursuing things that allow you to feel that sensation inside of yourself of what it is to feel like you're doing what you absolutely love so." Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And he looked at me and said, "Blue."
He did not.
No, he didn't.
Okay, beautiful. I think we've answered that. I hope we've answered that question.
Yes, we and that's, have. We've answered them really well.
And yeah, there are three questions for our Q&A
You
today.